This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
I should serve as Attorney General of the United States. I'd be easy on marijuana and tough on big tech. Wouldn't that be a nice reversal? If necessary, I'd fire every little kicker at the J. Edgar Hoover building and send them all packing. If you really want to drain the swamp, hire a Florida man.
Matt Gaetz is a bit of a flashback. When was that from?
It was a New York event. It was up in
this cycle?
No, I think it was last cycle.
Last cycle. Matt Gaetz saying, hey, put me in as AG. I'd like to do that job. What did he call them? I don't think we can say it on the air, but...
Blank kickers.
Oh, sugar kickers?
Sugar kickers.
Yeah. It's weird to hear people in rally mode when you're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like Ric Flair. Everywhere you go. I mean, some people are ready for that. There are people right now, truly, still a little bit over a week after the election, who are in turn it to 11 rally mode.
Oh, yeah. I got to tell you, whenever I'm making promos for the station, especially right now, it's like, let's go, you know, making some stuff that's really energized. And you find somebody going, you got music really pumping, and you find somebody who goes, I think it's time we drain the swamp. You're like, no, I want rally mode.
It's time to drain the swamp.
Drain that swamp.
With lots of flashing
lights. I think we just made our own promo.
Yeah, let's do that. Don't do that. Not everybody is totally digging the Matt Gaetz appointment. Here's a Florida state's attorney.
Now, and with this pick, Trump is trolling the DOJ and the rule of law, but it could have devastating consequences. You asked about perception. Well, a Republican friend of mine who's also friends with Matt Gaetz told me last night he thought this appointment was the worst thing that's ever happened to the country. And considering a country that went through the Civil War, the Great Depression, and 9/11, that's quite a statement.
Yeah.
That's drastic.
Yes, it is.
There was the Civil War, and then there was the Matt Gaetz pick.
The Matt Gaetz nomination.
I think that is just a little over the top.
It's emblematic of our times, though, to say something so hyperbolic about the news of the day.
Is it possible that he doesn't understand the Civil War?
It's possible.
Like, when people compare other people to Hitler so much, it's like, do you know what he did?
Yes.
Do you understand the gravity of evil that exists with a man like Adolf Hitler? Because when you throw it around there, just like throwing around the word racist all the time, when people actually do disgustingly racist things, people are desensitized to the label of racist. And in my opinion, racism is encouraged to grow because people don't take it seriously anymore, which is a true sin.
There is a clip out there from probably 2 or 3 weeks ago of Trump. It was during the height of Trump as a Nazi and Hitler and fascist and all that. And he's, I don't know who he's talking to, but it was really interesting because he said, he was very somber about it. He said, when I was younger, my dad would not let you really refer to Hitler because he lived through that. And he said, you don't refer to things as like Hitler. Hitler was Hitler. He killed millions of people. He tried to destroy a race of people off the earth. You don't just casually call something Nazi.
Yeah. You can't, because you diminish the absolute evil that existed in that thing. And I wish we would, I wish that we would get back to some common sense surrounding discussions like that. The YouTube live chat poll for today: do you like Matt Gaetz as Trump's pick for Attorney General, yes or no? Brad, how do you feel about this one?
My gut reaction when I saw that, and if you go back and watch it, you can see it on my face too. It's like, what? And then what is he doing? I don't like this. And it wasn't so much that I think that Matt Gaetz would be terrible at this job or whatever, but I just think that there are so many more, so many other people that would be way better at it than he would. And I get that there are people out there that are like, oh yeah, but he won't take any guff and blah, 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 blah. There's a bunch of people out there that, like, when I look at positions, AG is not a position that I want to firebrand. I want a doer in that position. I want somebody that's going to work and get things done. I don't want to hear a lot from my AG. I just want him to get things done. And I want my AG not to be making speeches, but to defend the American people from government overreach and that sort of thing. So I just don't think that he would be good at that.
We're in a position here to share our opinions and, you know, just look at a situation, assess it, and share that opinion. And maybe if we had more information on the subject, maybe we would change our opinion on that. Is Matt Gaetz in government for the people he represents or for Matt Gaetz?
That's the big question, isn't it? I had a church group last night, and I'm a little bit newer to this church group, so I was coming in fresh. Some people I didn't always know or talk to. And this was a topic of conversation that everybody wanted to talk about. And I was just kind of listening. And it seems to me like people are really torn because...
What is the topic of conversation?
Matt Gaetz.
Oh,
for Attorney General, yeah. People seemed very torn. And I had to reflect myself on that and say, I'm kind of torn. Because there are aspects of Matt Gaetz that you go, that's exactly what I want in a politician. Somebody who's willing to go against the grain, who doesn't care about being popular even within his own party, standing up for what he believes at times that makes him a pariah. You know, some of that stuff I really like. But in Matt Gaetz, I see that some of that stuff seems performative to me and doesn't seem genuine, like he's trying to, for lack of a better way of putting it, raise his profile for speaking events more than he is trying to actually stand up for those things. I don't know, but that's what it seems like. So I'm really torn on this question because part of me goes, you know what, overall, whatever Trump's trying to do, he's trying to controlled burn from the inside these organizations that have gotten so ridiculously bloated and corrupt. And if Matt Gaetz is a part of that ecosystem, that he's going to come in and change the DOJ, I'm for that. But my visceral reaction to Matt Gaetz is no, because I'm not sure that he's doing it for the country. I would love to be sure, but I'm not. It seems like he's doing it for Matt Gaetz.
Yeah, there are politicians that I feel. That's a big question about surrounding Donald Trump. Are you in this for Trump? Because that's a huge allegation towards him from the people who don't subscribe to supporting him. They say all Donald Trump is in it for himself, that that's all he cares about. And we on this side go, what are you talking about? He it's a line he says all the time, like, I could be on the most beautiful beaches, but I'm not. I'd mm-hmm. rather be with you here today.
Yeah.
And we just see it from a different perspective. It blows my mind when people are like, all Donald Trump cares about is himself. I'm like, this is not for Trump. Trump came out. Just ask Dave Chappelle. He's like, Trump, when he was running against Hillary Clinton, was like, I know how to beat all the systems. And I do it. And Trump looked at Hillary and says, your people do it too, but you're not willing to admit it mm-hmm. or change it for the people who are your buddies. I know how to do it, and I'm willing to go in and change it to make it better. And people understand that about Donald Trump. Not everybody does. When you get into Congress people, you don't see them as much. You don't learn about them as much. And I just look at Matt Gaetz, and he has not, to me, he hasn't convinced me that he's out there for something more than just himself.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean he couldn't do the job. That doesn't mean if he were to be confirmed that he would be a failure. I'm just very skeptical of it, which is why on the poll today, do you like Matt Gaetz as Trump's pick for attorney general? I'm a no. But just because I'm a no doesn't mean I'm going to throw a freaking hissy fit about it. And, you know, I'm melting. That's not happening. Do you like him? Do you like the pick?
I again, I'm so torn.
Pick. Choose.
I'll say no. But I'm very open to the fact that I'm not Donald Trump. I was not just elected by a mandate to do this kind of thing. It's funny because I think Mike Elam was filling in for you, Annie, one time on this show, so you wouldn't have been a part of this conversation. But, you know, we were talking about the kind, I mean, it may have been off air. I think it was probably both on and off air. We were talking about the types of politicians that you like. And for me, they need to do two things. And it seems like we always kind of pick one or the other. They need to be able to go in there and rabble rouse and be an outsider and not get caught up in the machine, whether that be in state government or the national government, whatever. Don't get caught up in the machine. Realize you're there to represent people for the good of the people. But then secondly, you can't just be against everything. You have to be a part of governing. So there's really two tracks that you have to be able to accomplish. And oddly, I think Marco Rubio kind of is that guy. I was saying this yesterday. It's the kind of politician, I said to Mike, that you want him to go in and really quickly get you your tax return and also ask, why are we paying taxes? It's like you need both of those things. And right now, my concern about the Trump picks, and this is could very easily go away, is that right now they're the kind of people who are questioning the system. I just want to make sure that they're the kind of people who can also run those systems once they reform them.
And, you know, if Donald Trump knows something about it and see something that we don't because he's closer to the situation, it'll be on their job to prove that they were right. That's just kind of how this goes. Yep. Donald Trump won the election. He has every right to pick and choose who he wants to nominate. The Senate has the right to confirm them or to participate in the recess nomination, a recess appointment, I should say, way of doing things. If you're curious about that process, we had a great conversation with Hans von Spakovsky at 12:25. On the show. You can listen to us on the Odyssey app. The podcasts are there. You can also go to anniefryshow.com/podcast and see the player that has all of the audio in there as we upload it throughout the course of the day. I just don't see how that I don't see this one all the way thinking it's going to go all the way through. That's my prediction. I don't make a ton of predictions, but I feel like this one isn't going to see it all the way through.
Tell you one that you called, and I'll give you credit for it because I disagreed, is that Joe Biden would not make it all the way through. Although I guess he did make it all the way through so far, his presidency, but he did not become the candidate.
I never said he wasn't going to make it through the presidency. I said he wasn't going to be the nominee.
Yeah.
But I said if I also didn't. I was convinced for years that he was not going to be the nominee. Why? Because he's not capable of doing the job now. How do you persuade the American people that you're going to be able to do the job for four more years? Like, how much do you think people hate Trump? So I was very convinced of that. And it really got to the point where I was like, well, maybe I was going to be wrong about this.
I mean, it was about as close as you could possibly get.
Mid-July.
Yeah.
July 13th, or was that when Trump was shot? Everything happened at once when I was on freaking vacation.
Yeah.
But I have also said that and this could still possibly come to fruition, except for the smile on Joe Biden's face. He's never looked more alive than he does right now.
It's so funny.
He's so happy and he looks like at peace. I'm pretty certain that Joe and Jill Biden are guarding every minute left of their presidency with everything that they have.
Yes. They're not going to bow out.
Kamala Harris wants to run for governor in California. If she wants to run for that governorship when Gavin Newsom is out, get a very moderate Republican to run in that race, because that is a winnable. You get another Arnold Schwarzenegger in that position, somebody that people love and would be willing to vote for. Kamala's dug that hole deep enough that you could just maybe take an extra shovel or two and finish the job. And then California could maybe have some common sense once again.
Rob Schneider.
Okay. I'm for it.
He's the nominee.
Making coffees. Yeah. I'm okay with that. I'm not in California. But boy, I'd take Rob Schneider as the governor of the state of Illinois in a heartbeat.
Heck yeah.
Speaking of, you guys hear about that ruling that came out here recently. A judge is... This is a very obvious reason why I'm having Katie and Jesse Johnson from STS Armory in here, because the judge has issued a ruling. There's a stay on it. There's going to be appeals. You know that when these things are happening in the court system in the state of Illinois surrounding your Second Amendment rights, that these are just taking the very slow paces towards the Supreme Court. But what was the initial law that was put into place? What was the challenge to it? And where are we in this process? Many of you want to know this question. And if you're in Missouri or anywhere else outside of the state of Illinois right now, if this makes it to the Supreme Court, this absolutely affects you. So we're going to have Katie and Jesse Johnson from STS Armory come join us in studio next, and we're going to talk about that. Plus, I just got my conceal and carry license renewal class done, qualified, very excited to have done that. So we'll talk to them about that as well. Come say hi in the YouTube live chat, sts-armory.com, if you want to check out that website at the break here. Lots more to come. Vote in the YouTube live chat poll. Do you like Matt Gaetz as Trump's pick for attorney general? I'll tell you right now, it's 57-43 split, but I'm not going to tell you which way. So if you have a thought on this, if you like the pick or if you hate it, you better go cast your vote in the YouTube live chat poll right now. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We are getting new reaction to the decision just made on Illinois' assault weapons ban. A downstate federal judge ruling tonight that the ban is unconstitutional. The plaintiffs had argued that the ban is for weapons that they say are commonly used for self-defense purposes. In a statement tonight, Governor J.B. Pritzker saying in part that the Protect Illinois Communities Act makes Illinois a safer place for everyone. The governor adding, quote, "We look forward to the attorney general of filing an immediate appeal." The judge gave the state 30 days to file that appeal.
So that is a little bit of a breakdown. But I'm going to be honest, when I hear all this legalese surrounding these types of things, I get kind of lost and I don't understand exactly like where were we? Where are we now? So we get experts in, the people who I go to whenever I have a question about any of this stuff. Katie can tell you, I text her. I'm like, so tell me more about what this means. And Jesse, Katie and Jesse Johnson, the owners at STS Armory, they're located in Pontoon Beach, Illinois, and they've got a lot of exciting things on the horizon for their shop there. Online at sts-armory.com. Katie, Jesse, thanks for being in here today. It's good to have you.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
I just saw them this weekend. I qualified my conceal carry renewal. I qualified, right? I completed it. So I'm looking forward to getting that renewal all completed. They're so wonderful when it comes to guiding you through all of this stuff that, again, the legalese of things you might not understand. They know it front to back. So, Jesse, you're the guy who I go to for all of the things that Illinois has specifically carved out for people who want to exercise their Second Amendment rights here. Can you tell us what the original law banned or outlawed that has gotten us to the point where we are right now?
The most common things that people processed with this was the AR-15s, AK-47s, shotguns. There were semi-automatic that had like a pistol grip to help with recoil. It's very common.
And what is the people that don't understand guns? They see these are scary guns, mm-hmm. which all guns can be scary if you don't know what you're doing and if you're on the wrong end of it.
Yeah.
What does a pistol grip on a shotgun do?
A pistol grip on a shotgun allows you to hold it a lot easier and absorb the recoil in your hand rather than just the shoulder. A lot of turkey hunters, mm-hmm. it's the most popular turkey hunting style of shotgun, was one with the pistol grip because those turkey loads are pretty heavy.
Is that something that a lot of other states have banned?
No.
It's just like pioneers here in Illinois?
We're first on that.
Whether you agree with it or not, but what is the reasoning behind something like that pistol grip on a shotgun? Like, why that specifically?
The reason to have one is because you have better control over it. You can hold it easier. You absorb the recoil easier. You just have better control over handling and shooting the gun. You're less likely to drop it. All those things help out with shooting the shotgun.
So if a bad guy has a gun and is doing bad things because they're a bad guy, then they have more control over their gun as well.
Technically, yes, if they knew what they're doing.
Yes. But if you are a good guy who is turkey hunting mm-hmm. and you're trying to make yourself more apt at it.
Or home defense.
Yes, true. So we can always get into those conversations as well. So you said the AK-47s, the AR-15s, the pistol grips on shotguns. What other things?
Magazines that hold more than 15 rounds for a pistol, which very common guns out there. Their self-defense guns hold 17 or 16 or even 18 rounds. Pistols with threaded barrels, which in Illinois really doesn't affect us because we don't do suppressors in Illinois. But it does affect a lot of the target guns, the little plinking 22s that people love to take to the range. The vast majority of those have threaded barrels. So there's a whole list of handguns that very, very popular handguns that have a threaded barrel on it and aren't able to be sold in Illinois. It's considered an assault weapon currently.
Currently. We're speaking with Jesse Johnson, and his wife Katie is in here as well. They are the owners of STS Armory, online at sts-armory.com. So in order to make a safer Illinois, if you ask the governor, they said you can't have these anymore. What happened? Or you can't buy these?
Can't buy them anymore if you're a normal citizen, but law enforcement and retired law enforcement can.
Oh, do they have lobbyist groups? Anyway. So if you had one of those things, what happened?
You were supposed to register it by January 1st of this year.
And when they made that the law, how'd that go?
Not the best. The state estimated there was roughly 50% of the FOID holders had this type of firearm and 2% registered something.
Oh. Ryan, were you one of them?
I can't confirm or deny any of that.
The government can now.
The government can. Anyway.
You said only 2%?
Roughly 2%.
Wow. 2%.
That's higher than I thought it would be, but still.
And those 2% are very good law-abiding citizens.
I will also say there's a lot of people don't even know they even own an assault weapon. We've had customers come in that are goose hunters, snow goose hunters, and they didn't know there was an assault weapon. They had no clue until 3 weeks ago.
Jesse, I get questions. I actually got a question just because of the industry that we're in from a family member this morning. Had no idea you guys were coming in, but he was asking about this judge in East St. Louis and this ban and how does this work. And then I, of course, had to go ask Brad because he's way more knowledgeable about these things. But do people approach you because they're also confused? Like, tell me what's going on here.
So that's our phones. As soon as they decide. So
I want to talk about the decision, too.
As soon as the decision was dropped, our phones lit up. I got a notification that something happened, and I called Katie in the room and said, okay, let me look over this before we start answering questions. I need to read through this, at least mm-hmm. a summary of the ruling is 168 pages, so.
So, we talked a little bit about this at our renewal class that was on Sunday, and if you're interested in getting your conceal and carry license, if you're interested in renewing it, if you're interested in getting a FOID card, if you don't know what a FOID card is, but you want to be a gun owner and be able to buy ammunition stuff in Illinois, all of these things, you go to STS Armory, they're going to be able to walk you through that system. But you were talking about the ban as it was levied, and then this judge here finally issued this massive, like, long, wordy ruling. What happened between the time that the initial law was put into place and they said, oh, this is the new law of the land in the state of Illinois about what you can own and so on and so forth? What has happened between then leading up to this ruling?
So that April following the law going into effect in January, the same judge who gave us this ruling did a preliminary injunction, which basically paused the law. It was paused for roughly 6 days, and then the Seventh Circuit Appellate Court suspended his injunction, stayed it. So the law went back into effect, basically pending the court case. This court case to be decided. So a lot of legal going back and forth, preliminary questions and paperwork back and forth. Both sides submitted, I believe, over 10,000 pages of evidence for the case. The case was heard last month in East St. Louis, and Judge McGuinn sided with the plaintiffs, which is the pro-gun. Sided with the plaintiffs that the law in its entirety was unconstitutional, not just specific parts, but the entirety of the law was unconstitutional and could not be separated into separate sections because it is so unconstitutional.
When this law was being put together, I was watching, you had pointed me in the direction of some YouTube channels, some people who are on YouTube who were covering this with great detail. But what I gathered with the creation of this specific law, a lot of times people who are pro-gun in Springfield will like try to pare back as much as they can to make it not such an egregious law, that this time they took a different approach and said, do whatever you want.
Do whatever you want, because make it so bad that it's easier to fight in court.
So the egregious nature of the law, it was permitted to be that way intentionally by the pro-gun people so it would fare better for the pro-gun people in court.
Right. We didn't go asking for an inch when they were going to take a mile. We just let them pass what they wanted. In fact, they passed it in the middle of the night.
Yes.
They passed it technically by Illinois illegally, but the courts won't deal with that. So it has to be read
Pause.
Three
let
times.
Let me imagine what that would be like.
Mm.
Okay, I'm good.
So it's supposed to be read three times. It was only read once.
Yeah.
They called a shell bill, and it's a mess in Illinois, but that's how they did it, and it was signed the afternoon after it passed. Went into effect immediately upon signature of the governor.
So it goes to this judge, and he says the entirety of the bill is unconstitutional. Hooray! Everybody gets to go out and buy ARs now, and you can load up, right?
It is unconstitutional, but the judge put a 30-day stay on the ruling going into effect.
What's that mean?
Basically, his ruling will be in effect in 30 calendar days.
Why wait 30 days?
It's common to do that on large cases, especially at the circuit court level. It also allows a couple getting to some, not going too deep into legalese, it allows us some opportunities further down the road because we know the state's going to appeal it. That's without a doubt. In fact, the afternoon after the ruling was out, the state had already filed an appeal.
Who do they file an appeal with?
The Seventh Circuit Appellate Court. So the federal court. This has nothing to do with Illinois courts. This is all federal courts. So the end game is the Supreme Court.
But then
what's the Supreme Court look like these days?
Yeah, the whole process is kind of the point, though, because it just locks everything up for such a long time.
The process is the mechanism.
Yeah. And what's the timeline for it? I mean, do you have any idea?
Currently, no. There's... we should see something. The court's kind of in a limbo. It's that whole, we're getting close to taking a Thanksgiving break. We may announce something. I expect something first couple weeks of December to set a timeline. That's if the Seventh Circuit takes it up, because it all depends on whose desk it lands on there. The Seventh Circuit could just basically say, okay, after 30 days, it goes into effect.
And they could not take the case.
They could not take the case. They could not take the initial appeal from the state to basically pause the ruling. They could say the ruling is going to go into effect, but we will have a court date in June or in May or in whenever next year to actually hear the state's arguments over this. So it's not a set thing that it is completely paused. It is depending on whose desk it lands on at the Seventh Circuit.
So after those 30 days are up, the appellate court can take up the case?
They could, yes.
They can say no?
They could say no. They would have to. They could say no. We're not taking this case. We don't believe that.
And if they say no, then the judge's ruling is in effect.
In effect.
And yes. We are free people again.
Again. Yep. The state would have more mechanism to appeal it again at the Seventh Circuit appellate level, but they could. There's a couple ways. There's three or four ways it could go. But more than likely, the Seventh Circuit's going to either ignore it and just say, okay, it's the ruling stands, but we will have a hearing on this date with both sides.
So then the ruling, the overturning of the law by Judge McGuinn here locally, is there any way for the appellate court to say, no, we're going to take up this case?
Oh, yeah.
And your ruling does not go into effect.
Correct. They can do that.
Until they're done with the case.
Until they're done with the case. If the appellate court steps in like that, that gives us grounds because we have what they call both merit and finding of fact in the 168 pages that McGuinn posted and all the evidence that was submitted to go to the Supreme Court and ask for an injunction until all matters of appeal have been exhausted. The Supreme Court's been very good about handing those out.
Yeah, they're very, like, everything needs to be exhausted before
everything
they take a minute of the Supreme Court's time.
Yes.
Do you have a thought on what's likely to happen here?
It's kind of flipping a coin at this point.
Okay.
It's all depending on the desk it lands on. And it all depends
when say that at the Seventh Court or Seventh Appellate Court District, what does that mean?
It means that they will be sent to a judge. And the judge will review it. He may ask for other judges' opinion in his review or his or her review. The composition currently of the Seventh Circuit, it leans more our way. We had a bad panel in the preliminary injunction, and one of the judges from the bad panel has since retired.
Mm-hmm.
So the composition of the court leans more pro-firearm than they do anti-firearm. So my hope, if it does land in the Seventh Circuit appellate, says, yes, we're going to hear this, I would hope for a full, what they call en bloc, the entire court review.
Does anybody get to have influence on whose desk it lands on?
Not really. It's kind of a first in, first out, whoever's got an open slot.
Luck of the draw.
And luck of the draw.
This has to make you guys' job so hard.
Very much
you're
so.
Trying to sell a product, and you're like, I don't know. I mean,
so you guys had people who had purchased these firearms and hadn't received them, and then the law went in effect. I feel like I remember having that conversation with you. Do you have people who have paid for firearms that they haven't been able to take?
Oh, absolutely. We have several who have stuff hanging out waiting for their rights to come back.
I'm trying to be one of those people. I'm like, just tell me when.
Oh, we have lots of people who have shopping lists. They're like, minute it goes, let
we
us know.
It.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's another important reason why if you're in Illinois... if you're interested in owning a firearm in Illinois, I want you to get to know Katie and Jesse at STS Armory because they are at the very forefront of what is taking place. And you know, the thing I've always appreciated, you guys are very understanding of what the law is, Jesse and Katie, both of you, so that you can make sure that everything you're doing is lawful, but that you are flexing your muscles to the fullest extent you can in Illinois for the Second Amendment and for people who want to be law-abiding citizens who are equipped to protect themselves, to protect their homes, to be able to hunt, whatever the issue is for owning a firearm. So is there anything else you wanted to say about the court case before we're going to take a break? And I want to ask you some questions about self-defense and get Ryan and Brad in here, too. But is there anything else that people should know? Is there any, I mean, if it's in the court system, there's not really like phone calls that can be made, I would assume.
No, phone calls don't influence judges. In fact, sometimes it has the opposite effect. That there's been kind of a chilling of the Seventh Circuit to the state of Illinois because there was an accusation by a lawmaker that recently a judge up in Chicago in the federal court issued a ruling against the state, and they basically pointed fingers, basically, it's your fault because these people were killed with this because you made this ruling. And that really ticks off the judges.
Yeah.
That makes them not friendly next time they see them in court.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see if the Constitution still applies to the people of Illinois, and hopefully the court system will get it right. Thank God that the likely end of this is in the Supreme Court?
Likely end of it's in the Supreme Court. Now, if it gets the one caveat with this is if the Seventh Circuit Appellate Court strikes down the law also and supports McGuinn's ruling, I do not see this going to the Supreme Court. The state does not want that.
But then the Second Amendment still wins.
I would like it to go to the Supreme Court because you have permanence. You have the next time they go to pass one of these laws, well, we already have a Supreme Court decision with this state in this kind of manner. we should have a permanent, we should have at least an immediate injunction until this gets decided.
Was it a New York case that was about bump stocks and all that stuff? Or was that,
That was, I believe.
What was the New York one?
The New York was the Bruin decision over having a firearm outside your home for transportation. Oh. Which trickled into conceal and carry, mm-hmm. which trickled into a lot of things, and actually literally changed about 15 states' laws.
Does the breadth, the wild liberties that, I was going to say take it, but actually kind of taken, of this bill, since it's such a massive albatross of infringement on Second Amendment rights, should it go to the Supreme Court? Would it affect nationally a lot of things?
It would affect nationally. There's a case out of Maryland right now that's we're racing to the court. Who's going to get there first?
Okay.
There's a chance that they may be given cert here in January, and that would be interesting because there's a high chance if they are given cert, they may roll our case into the Supreme Court at the same time because the law is so similar,
okay.
so similarly worded, and so similarly restrictive that we may be having both of our cases heard simultaneously in front of the court at the same time.
But it has to go through the appellate court first.
No. The Supreme Court can pull a case out of anywhere. Once it has been in front of a judge at the circuit level, they can take that case immediately to themselves.
Let's take a quick break. If you have questions that you want me to throw at Katie and Jesse, state of Illinois experts here when it comes to Second Amendment rights, get on the Annie Fry YouTube channel and leave your comments in the chat. We're going to talk to them about self-defense when we come back, and also a little bit of prepper stuff because I'm kind of into it. And so Katie and Jesse in studio with us right now. They're in Pontoon Beach, Illinois. There are a lot of really exciting things in store at STS Armory. We're going to talk about those as well when we come back. Don't go away. Chose me. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We've got Katie and Jesse Johnson in here from STS Armory. If you go online to sts-armory.com, you're going to be able to learn all about this amazing, it's really an asset for you as a Second Amendment supporter in the state of Illinois. They're in Pontoon Beach, Illinois. Katie, I want to get you into the conversation here because there are a lot of exciting things coming for STS Armory. What do you want to let people know that's right there on the horizon for you guys?
So we are actually in the process of building a brand new building, 2.4 miles south of where we are at. And we hope to be in there by Christmas, praying that all the other things go well.
Yeah.
But if not, by the end of the year, we will be into our new building.
This Christmas.
Ooh. How will it compare to what you have right now for people who have been there before?
So right now it'll be the same size building that we're in, just better layout. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the building we're in right now, we lease, and our landlord has decided to put it up for sale. So we kind of were forced into an option of what do we do?
Yeah.
Being in the Second Amendment industry, it's not always the most friendly to us. If a new owner decided to kick us out, we would have nowhere to do business. So we decided to move forward.
Well, good for you. Yes. That's really exciting. I know that you guys are always looking forward to the next thing. Your conceal and carry classes, among other classes that you have. I just finished my renewal, went to STS Armory in Pontoon Beach. My husband and I both completed our renewal classes for our conceal and carry. You'll have places at this new location for these classes as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yep. So we'll actually have a little bit bigger of a classroom than we currently have. No live fire range at this time. That is phase two. But right now, it's just going to be a better laid out store.
What kind of classes are you offering right now? I know people can go to sts-armory.com to learn about them, but what would you like to highlight?
Right now, we have concealed carry classes. Our renewal classes are a little bit slim pickings. They are completely full until December right now.
Okay.
We're working on trying to squeeze as much as we can into that schedule. And then we also have a free seminar coming up in Collinsville that is a Ready, Set, Protect, where we will discuss holiday times and shopping and traveling and moving around the area and just how to keep yourself safe. Even if a firearm isn't for you, different ways to protect yourself.
Yeah, I want to add to that. Let me look. Oh, I just got this box of pepper spray. Don't come at me. When I was in the renewal class, Jesse was teaching it. You were talking, you know, in a renewal class, you go over the things that you learn a lot more in depth. Thank you. For in a like first time course, you go over a lot of that stuff in the renewal. And then, of course, you have to qualify by actually firing your firearm at a target. But you were talking about this is pepper spray, Jesse. And the thing that you sold me on is, of course, this is non-lethal force, but this pepper spray is more than just pepper spray. It's got something else in it.
It has a UV marking dye in it, so you spray the attacker. They're dyed with a dye that is clear and invisible to the naked eye until somebody holds up essentially a black light up to them, and they're going to glow. They're going to be stained for about 7 days.
But they don't know it.
They have no clue.
Wow.
So you get attacked by somebody, they get arrested. I didn't do it.
Or they get away.
Yeah.
And you name them later, sometime within 7 days, and well, the assurance is they've been marked, they hold a black light up. Yep, they were definitely there.
Is that admissible in court?
Yes.
They should not hide at a rave.
No, they should not hide at a rave or glow bingo.
Wait a minute.
We're just here to get new uniforms glow for the cheerleading squad. Why are you glowing?
That was my Friday and Saturday. So, rave, then glow bingo.
I was really excited about this because you said you have to be 18 to purchase them.
Correct.
But you don't have to be 18 to use them.
No.
Or to carry them.
Correct.
So if you have, I would not just relegate it to females, but if you have kids who are responsible enough, you know, I have taught my older children how to use a firearm. My husband and I have together, but they obviously aren't carrying one. But if they're in a position where they might need to protect themselves and they're responsible and you've deemed them, that it is a legal thing for them to have and to utilize. How much were these per?
$12.95.
So, I mean, like for under $13, you can have this thing on you and protect yourself. And I just thought, well, that's absolutely necessary. So I just made this purchase. I want to read something here before we get to a couple of questions. And I'm going to read this real quick because Jesse handed this to me. This is the end of Judge McGlynn's ruling.
Yes.
This is a quote. Sadly, there are those who seek to usher in a sort of post-Constitution era where the citizens' individual rights are only as important as they are convenient to a ruling class, seeking ancient laws that may partner well with a present-day infringement on a right proclaimed in the Bill of Rights without reading it in conjunction with the aforementioned history is nonsense. The statute of Northampton cannot in the least bit be used to vex the rights of Illinois citizens in the 21st century to keep and bear arms. The oft-quoted phrase that, quote, no right is absolute, end quote, does not mean that fundamental rights precariously subsist subject to the whims, caprice, or appetite of government officials or judges. Stephen P. McGlynn, U.S. District Judge. Well,
that's
said.
Amazing.
Yeah, I read that for Brad. Fantastic. Thank you for bringing that in.
That's just a small sample of some of what he wrote in there. It's
how many pages again?
168, and every page is something that's just like, wow, wow,
yeah,
wow.
How many times have you read this thing? More than once?
Oh, yes.
Ryan, real quick, you want to fire off a question or two from our audience?
I'm going to mix these two together because they're about the same topic, but a little bit different. So the first one is from RSG. Says, is there concealed carry reciprocity between Illinois and Missouri? Then the second one from Joseph says, how excited are you about the proposed national reciprocity on CCW? Please explain first, because some of these terms I'm not even that familiar with.
Okay, so technically with Missouri and Illinois, there is not reciprocity. There is recognition. Lawyers use words, and we have to use those. Missouri recognizes an Illinois concealed carry permit. Yes, they have permitless carry in Missouri, but they recognize Illinois. They recognize any other state's permit. That's how there's 27 states that recognize our permit. Illinois does not recognize Missouri's permit in public, but they do recognize Missouri's permit while you're in your vehicle.
Okay.
So somebody's transporting through Missouri and they're a Missouri resident with a Missouri carry permit, they will recognize that. But when they step outside, they got to stay in there.
Anything else that you wanted to ask?
Those were the main ones, and I know we're short on time.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. STS-armory.com. Katie and Jesse, thanks for being in here today.
Thanks for having
Absolutely.
Us.
I'm just being honest, you are my husband's favorite people. I am number two. Katie and Jesse tied for first at STS Armory. If you want to, I encourage you, especially leading into the holiday season, I would really recommend for the right people, you know how to make responsible decisions, but this next generation pepper spray, this is a great stocking stuffer. You can go into, think about things you can get this holiday season for people who you love that are really meaningful. Katie and Jesse can guide you through those whole processes. Guys, thanks for being in here today.
Thanks for having us.
In Pontoon Beach, online at sts-armory.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive.
It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.